From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kulhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The election analysis outlet 538.com has released its forecast for the midterms this fall and concluded that the Democratic Party has a 75% chance of taking control of the House of Representatives. With this news surely boosting party leaders, the Democratic National Committee will meet next week in Chicago at a seminal gathering where party leaders will decide on their direction. Already, progressives are upset at the party's reversal of a ban on accepting money from fossil fuel corporations. DNC Chair Tom Perez justified the move using workers' rights as a pretext. My guest, Jeff Cohen, has just penned an essay saying this country needs a serious opposition party that can defeat both corporate power and the GOP. Nothing else will do. Jeff Cohen is a media critic, writer, and journalism professor who founded the media watchdog group FAIR. He's also the co-founder of RootsAction.org and founding director of the Park Center for Independent Media. And he is the editor of Autopsy, the Democratic Party in Crisis, which you can find online at democraticautopsy.org. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Great to be with you, Sonali.
So surely the Democrats feel that whatever they've been doing so far is working if 538.com is projecting that they're very likely to win the House, a majority in the House.
That's an interesting definition of it's working, because for working people and people that have been on the receiving end of the abuse from our current government, the Democratic Party is not working. The important figures, I sure hope that the Republicans get defeated in November. But the real figures to talk about is during the 8 years of the Obama administration, the Democratic Party lost 1,000 legislative seats in state houses. At the end of the Obama administration, two out of three governors were Republicans. At the end of the Obama administration, there were about 25 states that had Republican governors and Republican control of the state house, and there were only about a half a dozen Democratic states. Democrats control the governors, the governorship, and the state house. So. And then put on top of that the least popular candidate of a modern party won against the Democrats in November 2016, and that's Donald Trump. So no, I don't think we should be excited that the Democrats may take back majority in the House. It's crucial that we do that. But certainly the Democratic leadership that had led us through 10 years of defeat in election after election that should have been won, that Democratic leadership does not deserve a lot of praise.
Do you feel that any success the party is enjoying may actually be due to the younger, more progressive members that are basically leading an insurrection within the party? Some of the new nominees for House races that have won in spite of not getting establishment party support. There was an interesting piece in the New York Times on Thursday saying that Nancy Pelosi, under threat in her own party, is scrambling to build bridges with some of these new leaders.
You've hit on it, Sonali. There is this incredible insurgency. The base of the party is progressive. The base of the party, the activist base, wants bold programs from the leadership, which they do not get. But in spite of the establishment having its thumb on the scales, in support of usually the more conservative or more corporate candidate within primaries, a lot of progressives, women of color, Democratic socialists have been winning these primaries. And it's often in spite of the Democratic establishment. So you have the victory in New York City against one of the most powerful Democrats in Congress is the victory of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York City. You have the victory of Rashida Tlaib in Detroit. You have the victory in Minnesota,
Of
and
Ilhan
of
Omar, yeah.
yes, the Somali American. She was a refugee who came to this country a little more than 2 decades ago. So you do have this incredible ferment, and it's not because of the leadership of the Democratic Party. It's usually in spite of the leadership.
And in fact,
And
Jeff, there was record turnout for the primary races in Wisconsin and Minnesota earlier this week, among Democrats, which is also an indicator that the party's base is excited about voting for some of these new candidates.
yes, obviously the party's base is more excited about these young, progressive female candidates than the party base was for Hillary Clinton, who got imposed on us. So I think that there's exciting things happening in the Democratic Party. The Democratic leadership, especially the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, as well as the Democratic National Committee, they've got their thumbs on the scale on behalf of the establishment or corporate candidates. If you're interested in this subject, the news outlet that covers it week after week is TheIntercept.com. Just search Democratic Party, and you'll see in race after race, the Democratic Party establishment has tried to prevent these candidates, Sonali, that you're mentioning, from winning. And I mean, the reason that many of us will be picketing, informational, non-confrontational picket line in Chicago when the full Democratic National Committee gathers on Thursday, this third coming Thursday in Chicago, a week from the day that we're taping, there will be this picket line because this insurgency in the party has gotten the party to take a half step toward restricting the voting power of super delegates. You'll remember how controversial that was in 2016, that weeks before any Democrat had gone to a voting booth in a state primary, or gone to a state caucus and cast a vote for president within the Democratic Party in 2016, before that had even begun, hundreds of delegates had been chosen because they were super delegates, party leaders, and they had already endorsed one of the candidates, Hillary Clinton, giving her a prohibitive favorite status. So we believe, and the reason, one of the reasons we're picketing in Chicago at the full meeting of the Democratic National Committee is we're on the verge of having the voting power of superdelegates drastically or totally restricted, and we want to make sure that reform goes through.
Now, the Congressional Black Caucus has said that it's opposed to, at least the chairman of the caucus, Cedric Richmond, is urging committee members to oppose this plan. Why?
You have to ask. I mean, trust me, there are some African Americans in Washington that work with and identify with and campaign for the party elite. They've become part of the establishment, some of them. Clearly, the people that will be picketing in Chicago see themselves as part of a movement that's trying to make the Democratic Party democratic.
Cedric Richmond, just to quote him, he said that unelected delegates have never gone against the will of primary voters in picking Democratic presidential nominees.
Yeah, I think that's absurd because in state after state in 2016, the voters went with Bernie Sanders in that state, in dozens of states. And in a number of those states, because of the super delegates, the delegate count in that state went to Hillary Clinton. But, you know, you began this conversation, Sonali, referencing the strong, hopeful possibility that the Democrats will retake the House. But I think it's important to remember how bad the Democratic Party has fared in the previous 10 years. And after a defeat as calamitous as the Trump victory in November 2016, one would have hoped that the leadership of the Democratic Party, the establishment, would resign. That's what happens in England. In 2015, when the British Labour Party suffered a bad defeat, the leadership resigned. And the base of the British Labour Party elected a new leader. And all sorts of young people and people of color joined the British Labour Party so they could participate in a democratic exercise, which is who will be the new leadership of the British Labour Party now that the old leaders have resigned after a horrible defeat. But in our country, in a party that calls itself democratic, the elite that controls the Democratic Party did not resign. They did not say, look, we've brought this country to a horrible situation where Donald Trump became president, and we're going to step aside so that new, younger leadership can take over. That didn't happen. They are clinging to power. And that's why we will be picketing in Chicago at the full meeting of the Democratic National Committee. We want the superdelegates' voting power drastically restricted or totally eliminated. We want transparency in how the Democratic Party spends and raises its money. And as you mentioned, now they're going to be accepting money from fossil fuel corporations.
The ban on that money
And
lasted a mere 2 months.
well, the reality is we don't know how money is spent. I mean, if people want to see, I mean, think about this, Sonali, in terms of making the Democratic Party democratic. After the defeat where Trump wins in 2016, the leadership didn't even do an analysis of what went wrong. So a bunch of us activists and writers and researchers and editors, we put together democraticautopsy.org that talked about what went wrong. And one of the things that went wrong is the way the Democratic Party spends its money. In 2016, they were spending money. They hire these consultants, they tend to be wealthy and white, and they run ads aimed at Republican suburban voters. And where the Democratic base of the Democratic Party wants the money spent is to mobilize young voters, mobilize voters of color, and getting them to the polls. That's where the money should be spent. But the quote that I will never forget, and I hope your viewers and listeners will never forget, came during the July 2016, during the presidential campaign of 2016, when the now leader of the Democratic Party in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, said these famous words. They should be infamous words. For every voter we lose in Western Pennsylvania, which of course is the Rust Belt, we will pick up two moderate Republican voters in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and we will repeat that in Illinois, Ohio, and Wisconsin, unquote. That's where the money was spent. The money was spent, and remember, Team Hillary outspent Team Trump in money. And it was money that was misspent. It was money that enriched a bunch of consultants. It was not money spent in developing a program and an operation that would get people of color and young voters to the polls. And so that's another key reason why we need a Democratic Party, is we want to have some transparency in how the money is raised and spent.
So, what do you make of Senator Elizabeth Warren's new plan that she put forward to hold corporations accountable? She's one of the leaders from the older generation who is pushing policies that the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes and Rashida Tlaibs would back. And she seems to have presidential aspirations. And many are saying that this particular bill that she's put forward is exactly what's needed from the Democrats as a whole now, where basically corporations, well, the Republicans are describing it as a wealth redistribution plan, of course. But is this the direction that you're happy people like Warren are taking?
Yes, and it's clearly, as we wrote in democraticautopsy.org, it's clear that young people and working class people, especially working class people of color, want to see, and every poll shows this, a bold agenda, an agenda that taxes and controls the greed of big corporations, $15 minimum wage, free public education, Medicare, universal health care for all. These things, there's no, it's not rocket science. Anyone could look at any poll and see that this isn't just where the base of the Democratic Party wants its leadership to be. This is where the US electorate is. And so what we need, the reason we talk about creating a Democratic, small d, Democratic, big D party is because we need a new agenda and we need an operation, a plan that mobilizes voters to the polls behind a progressive agenda and is not geared at spending millions and millions of dollars as they did in 2016, and they've done in some races this year, trying to convince persuadables, what they call moderate Republicans. I didn't even know those people still existed. I thought it was extinct, the moderate Republican, but they're spending millions of dollars on the persuadables when what we need is an agenda that brings out people of color and young voters and progressive voters and excites them. That's how you will defeat the Republicans. We
Right.
want a Democratic Party because we want to win elections. We've lost too many in the last 10 years.
Jeff, many have pointed out that voter turnout is critical to the Democrats' chances of winning. So obviously, you need candidates that actually inspire those voters that you just mentioned to turn out, younger people, people of color, et cetera. And then you actually need to have very strong efforts on the ground to get out the vote, to help people register to vote, because, of course, those voting rights are very much under attack in state after state controlled by the Republicans. Those very, those kinds of grassroots efforts that require a lot of people power on the ground, knocking on doors, those are the things that you would hope the party would put effort into.
Well, again, you are exactly right. The ground game is what can win these elections, and the ground game is cheaper than the expensive money spent on
Right.
ads. Of course, the consultants get rich based on how many millions of dollars of ads they run. But yes, the ground game is what can win, and it needs to be behind inspiring candidates. We pointed out in democraticautopsy.org how tiny was the operation of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, in confronting voter suppression state by state. So clearly, we need to orient the party toward its base. And the only way you can do that is if the party leadership is not afraid of its base. I mean, think about it. The head of the DNC, the chair of the Democratic National Committee, is Tom Perez. He was basically, appointed by the Clinton-Obama wing of the party to head off the chair personship going to Keith Ellison, who had endorsed Bernie Sanders, Congressman Ellison at the time. And Perez has said repeatedly, week after week, through the beginning of this year, that the DNC, and this is apparently learning from the mistake of 2016, when the DNC had its thumb on the scales in behalf of Hillary and it caused so much controversy and anger, Tom Perez said, the DNC, I will not be participating in contested primaries. And then weeks after saying that, he shows up in my state in New York and he endorses, he stands up on the stage to endorse the incumbent governor, Andrew Cuomo, who is facing an insurgent challenge from a progressive candidate, the activist and actor Cynthia Nixon. And so we keep having these somersaults at the leadership of the Democratic Party. We're not going to intervene. And then Tom Perez endorses Cuomo. We're not going to accept fossil fuel donations. And then 2 months later, they do a backflip and say, we will accept those donations. And I think part of the problem is that the leadership of the Democratic Party is sort of oriented toward corporate donors and corporate media. But the base of the Democratic Party, who are winning these elections, the base wants progressive policies and a party that orients toward the base. And you can't have that when the leadership of the party is sort of afraid, seems to be afraid of its own base. And that's why you have this circus, these flip-flops from the leadership of the Democratic Party. Now, you won't, you know, you'll hear about it on Rising Up, but you won't hear about this clownish flip-flopping on the part of the Democratic leadership on CNN or MSNBC. They just focus on the even more clownish Trump antics. But frankly, there are two major parties in this country. They both deserve scrutiny. Corporations have too much power over both of those parties. And what we really need, and the reason we will be there picketing in Chicago this next weekend, is because we believe that only an energized and democratic opposition party can not only defeat corporate power, but defeat the Republicans at the polls.
Jeff, I'm wondering if, finally, if you think that we need a different mindset, a cultural shift in the dynamics between politicians and voters. I recall in the wake of the election, a lot of individuals who had backed Hillary Clinton blaming critics of Clinton for Trump's win, basically saying that if we had all just rallied behind Clinton, this would never have happened. With the understanding that politics works in the way that means voters choose who to back rather than voters demanding that politicians meet them where their values are. And you know, a lot of people seem to have it backwards. I mean, if politicians are working for us, they're literally public servants, they need to meet voters rather than the other way around, right?
Yeah, you're describing a democracy. you are right that the Democratic leadership blame the voters. They never blame themselves. They wouldn't even do an analysis of what happened in this monumental, calamitous defeat of 2016. As I remind you, when the British Labour Party went down to a bad defeat in 2015, the leaders left. And the voters, Labour Party voters, were able to elect their new leadership, which was very much more progressive. It's Jeremy Corbyn. And even though you had at the top of the British Labour Party, and by the way, there's so many parallels between US Democratic Party and British Labour Party. When the progressives led by Jeremy Corbyn become the leaders of the British Labour Party, all the corporatists within the Labour Party over there said, oh, he's so left wing, he'll never win. It's going to lead to the destruction of the Labour Party. And then in 2017, with Corbyn at the leadership, the Labour Party gained 30 members of parliament. They gained 10 percentage points in the voting, and they nearly became the governing party of Britain. So it's my belief that if the Democratic Party was not controlled by this elite, corporate-friendly, corporate-oriented leadership and allowed this young base, this energized base, women, people of color, a democratic socialist, progressives, people from all walks of life, if that would allow to happen within our Democratic Party. And instead of resigning in November 2016, they seem to want to put a tougher stranglehold on the leadership of the party. But if the base could flourish and take over, I'm very optimistic about how this country's future and the future of the world would look. But we have to dislodge this leadership of the Democratic Party, which seems to be firm in only one principle, and that's to make sure that the progressive base of the party gets slapped in the face, kept out of power, make sure there's not democratic participation of the base. That seems to be their one firm principle, that they will hold on to power even when they lose so many of these elections that were winnable.
Well, Jeff, good luck next week. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Jeff Cohen, a media critic, writer, and journalism professor. He is the co-founder of RootsAction.org and the editor of Autopsy, the Democratic Party in Crisis. We've been discussing the DNC ahead of its meeting next week. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.